Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, welcome. Welcome to the show. It is Bowerly back in the saddle on News Radio 930 WBEN in what are certainly somber times. Just a quick thank you to Joe Beamer for sitting in and my turning Joe's life upside down once again. Just a little bit of bleeding in the eye after the last surgery, so they wanted me to basically take it easy, which frankly, if I never hear those words again, will be perfectly fine with me. That's all I'm going to say. Now, as we look forward to the Memorial Day weekend, just one quick thing I do want to mention is that Memorial Day, it's not to be confused with Veterans Day. Veterans Day is a day we set aside to honor everybody who served. Memorial Day is different. Memorial Day is to honor those who lost their lives in service to the United States. In service to the United States, even if it was a training accident at Fort Leonard Wood, Memorial Day. Anybody who lost their lives in service to the United States, that's what the day is set aside to commemorate. And sometimes it's one of my personal things, and I don't know if it's right or if it's wrong, but I hear people, and I know they're well-intended, saying Happy Memorial Day, and it just there's something about it that just it just hits me the wrong way. And I would guess that if we could bring back those who have fallen in our country's service, if we could bring them back, I'm pretty sure that they would not want us to be morose or depressed on Memorial Day. Of course, those of you who are Gold Star mothers or parts of Gold Star families, that never goes away, and the sense of loss never goes away. But for the rest of the people who are listening, just as we head into the long weekend, it's about more than sales. It's about more than hot dogs and ribs and grills and cookouts and getting together with family. It's about more than that. It is a sacred national holiday, Memorial Day. So let us not forget the reason why we have a three-day weekend. And if you could just give a few moments of your thought to those who died in service to the country over this Memorial Day weekend, that will give a great be a great tribute to those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Now, with obviously what happened in Buffalo and what happened in Texas, you know, I've been going through this over and over again in my own mind, trying to come up with answers to the question, why? Why is this happening? Why is it happening? Why is it always young men? And then I started thinking, well, maybe there's a reason the military drafts young men when it institutes a draft. There's something about the testosterone or aggressive makeup of a young man that I don't know is ever going to be eliminated. The young man. Now, there are exceptions, the individual in Las Vegas being one. I'm not going to name the suspect in Buffalo or the shooter in Texas because I just think it's bad policy. Now, sometimes I do slip and I will mention names from ancient history, but as far as things that have recently happened, I think one of the reasons is, and I don't know that this is documented, but I'm inclined to believe that one of the reasons people do these horrendous things is because they want to be famous. You know, we're a society where everybody wants to be somebody, even if being somebody means being an arch villain. There's this almost unnatural quest or craving for celebrity. Look, I've got 5,000 friends. Look at my YouTube account. Look how many subscribers I have. Oh, look at, I have 2 billion views on my website. There's something that's a little bit strange about that, especially for people who don't get jobs or want jobs that are quote unquote in the public eye. Because, you know, this is supposed to be the home of narcissists who crave attention. It's a personality type. But out there in the real world, most people prefer to fly under the radar. Most people prefer, well, for example, speaking in public is one of the biggest fears of American people. Yet people are communicating with us, but they're not communicating in any constructive way. They're communicating in horrible, violent, hurtful ways that destroy communities, rip apart families, and break hearts, and inflict untold suffering and damage on everybody who is involved in the circle of friends of those who are victims. But why is this happening? And I want to offer a bit of a theory, and I'm not going to claim that it is the full answer. It's a theory. It's not an answer. It's a hypothesis. And I think, and Brian Mazurowski may have brought this up this morning. I had somebody call just when Brian was making a point, and I didn't catch entirely what he said, but he mentioned something about community and people not... Oh, somebody called in about church, and Brian talked about the importance of community, and then my phone rang, and I had to take care of that business. So I do believe that there is something to that, that many people do not feel as though they are part of a community. They feel isolated. They feel alone. And they react in horrible ways. I was once told, look, this was an old social studies teacher who made this point. Now, whether this point is valid or whether it's just another treasured myth of American history, I have no idea. But supposedly, the first generation of immigrants to America, even those who lived in the squalid conditions you've read about in New York City or here on, in Buffalo on Canal Street or Dante Place, the first generation of people who came from another country were generally pretty well adjusted because it was speculated by the sociologist that they were part of a community. Everybody knew everybody else. Everybody knew Luigi, the corner grocery. Everybody knew Giuseppe, the guy who was going to do brickwork for you. Everybody knew. Right? And I'm talking about Dante Place, which as Dante Place was very heavily Italian-American immigrant community. But people felt a sense of community. And then as you get away from that first generation of immigrants, that's when people start running into problems. And the theory several years ago, what I was taught is that the further you get away from those roots in a community, the more likely you are to run into issues of mental illness. Now, look, whether that is true, whether it is one of those myths of history or sociology, I don't have the foggiest. But I do think generally that there is something to be said for a sense of community, which leads to a feeling of empathy for other people. And why is this happening now? Do not, and this, look, this is not a political discussion, okay? This is more of a trying to apply a little bit of common sense to a situation and come up with something like an answer. One of the reasons I think a lot of people feel disconnected, keeping in mind the overwhelming majority of people do not commit these heinous and violent acts against other human beings, but the isolation that so many people felt as a result of the pandemic, the isolation. There's a reason why prisons put people into solitary confinement. It's because it is the worst punishment you can possibly give a prisoner that we allow in America today. It deprives people of human contact, and we are social creatures. So getting back to it, I think the pandemic may have exacerbated some underlying mental illness in some people. I know, and you know, that the mental health counselors, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, they have all talked about the effect in particular on children of not being able to socialize, not being able to play. And I do believe that the residual effects of almost, 2 years of lockdowns may be something that we feel the effects of for quite some time to come, especially those in their formative years who were deprived of human interaction. Sometimes, you know, we hear about bullying in school, and obviously it's a very important issue, but we don't hear about so much about the lack of human interaction being a cause for people being or turning evil and acting on those thoughts. So I don't, is it a lack of community, of feeling like they belong? Did the pandemic play any role in this? I mean, I'm sure you know people who might be fully grown adults and very well adjusted, but during the lockdown, they got a little stir crazy because they were missing their friends, they were missing going out to dinner, they were missing everything that goes with the life we've come to expect here in the United States and in the free world. Now, there's another thing too. At least a couple of other things that I want to bring up. Now, I don't personally play them, but the video games, in particular, the video games which objectify violence and objectify human beings, and on video turn these people into nothing more than things to be killed. Are they a contributing factor? I played one shooting game once at a kid's birthday party, and the only thing I killed were aliens. They didn't look anything like human beings. They were aliens. But I know a lot of people have brought up video games, and honestly, I don't know what the attraction is to some of the more violent video games. As I've said, I don't play them. My video game history ended with Pong, which was back in the 1970s. That's about it. I don't understand the draw of violent video games, but then again, I'm a bit of a dinosaur. I don't get it. Why you'd want to engage in a game where you're actually shooting what looks to be other human beings, not aliens, but other human beings. And the other thing too that I think has to be addressed, and I'm thinking about a lack of community being a part of why we are seeing this, okay? Why we are seeing this. And I think that many people lack genuine human interaction. Maybe they play video games where they shoot people on a video screen. Maybe they simply don't really have any real friends. And I've said this before, but you can have 3,000 friends on Facebook and nobody to bail you out at 3 o'clock in the morning, or nobody can call to give you a ride to the hospital at 5 a.m. because you got a kidney stone and don't feel like, you know, paying the ambulance bill. I think there are a lot of people. I think technology is great, okay? Technology offers a lot of magnificent communications advantages that society has never seen before. But in another way, it's kind of a paradox. Technology can also play a role in isolating people from each other. For example, social media. You say things, I've said things, that you would never say to somebody's face, but you will say them over a Facebook thread or some other message board on some other social media outlet. And I think that social media, again, it has its advantages. Hey, what did I have for dinner tonight? Let's post that. It has its advantages, but it also has, I think, the ability to turn living human beings into nothing more than a name and a face on a screen. And you're not really friends with them. You basically kind of know them because of what they want to put up and share about themselves. But do you have any ideas, any thoughts on why we are going through what we are going through right now? And unfortunately, I don't know that we know this or ever will know this, but I have to wonder if Texas was an immediate result of what happened in Buffalo, although the person who committed the acts, if we could call him a person, in Texas had supposedly a countdown which would have predated what happened in Buffalo. So whether or not that's a viable theory, I don't know. It may not be. It may simply have been a coincidental thing. And obviously, too, I'm thinking about why other countries may not have this, even though they have access to firearms or they have access to certain means of mass destruction that aren't firearms. And we've seen what other forms of weaponry can do with the Boston Marathon, Oklahoma City, and other events that have happened around the world which have nothing to do with firearms. And I think that one of the reasons may be the I can't even call it decimation because that's only 10%, but the destruction of the family system in America, because there was a time when people were together and you had a mother and you had a father and you had kids and it was a family unit. There was some family cohesion, and we don't have as much of that anymore. And if you are a divorced person, and 50% of you are, and a certain percentage of you are divorced with young kids, you need to always be a parent, even if you aren't, even if you're not married, you still have to be a parent. And unfortunately, I think we have a lot of parents who are missing in action. And I think that plays a role in it, a lack of structure. But on the other hand, some people would argue that we're overly structured in America. Oh, take the kid to softball. Oh, we have a play date. Whatever happened to just kids walking off in the woods, being kids and doing kid stuff? George Carlin made a point of bringing that up in one of his pieces. So I want your thoughts, your chance to play analyst here on why this has happened in the United States. Can you identify some of the factors that are responsible past the obvious? And I don't want to get into a big gun debate right now because I don't think this is the time. But I am certainly aware of weapons other than the military-style rifles that can do as much or more damage as these quote-unquote evil-looking firearms that people are pointing to and saying, well, they need to be banned. Because I don't, again, if I tell you what they are, I don't want to give anybody ideas. And as far as hardening school buildings themselves. Okay, you harden school buildings. Well, there are other soft targets that might be even worse than school buildings in terms of somebody's ability to inflict carnage. And it's just, you need to try to come up with some answers. So I want to know where you are on the whys of this, because since May 14th, I'm sure we've all been going over this in our heads. May 14th, of course, was tops on Jefferson Avenue. Why? I want to know why. Why does this happen? Why is it almost always young men? Is it a lack of community? Be it a community you would find at church or synagogue or mosque or temple, be it a community of your neighborhood, be it a nuclear family and the sense of community that can bring, even though everybody says they've got a dysfunctional family, at least it's a family. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I'd like your thoughts on why this is happening. We know what happened, but what do you think is causing it to happen? And is there anything to the argument about lack of a feeling of being part of community? Because frankly, guys, not a big secret, I really enjoy hanging out with my friends. And the worst part about being told by a doctor is, well, you've got to take it easy, is great. That means I have to stay home, climb the walls, and I don't get to see anybody, and I don't get to have fun. Wonderful. And that was only for a week. Last time it was for 5 weeks. So I think we are social creatures. We're social creatures, and something is missing from our social fabric. I don't know what it is. Maybe you've got better answers than I do. You probably do. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, it's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Back in the saddle, and I have one word. Why? What is your analysis? Why does this happen? Why is the word? And your telephone call is basically how you're going to communicate with me today, because there's one more surgery coming up to take care of a cataract. So don't give me a migraine, because reading is not exactly a strong suit right now. Let's go to Fran in Allentown. Fran, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Thanks, Fran.
I have an idea. Like, my dad was born in Europe, and the children, both men and women, followed their whatever their parents did. They were like apprentices, and then by the time they were adults, they were experts. They were masters in whatever profession they happened to be. And so I was brought up in the European manners as such. But what I want to get into is, I'm not sure whether the schools offer this anymore, but when I went to school, they had like alternative learning classes, especially for boys.
Yes, they do. The many districts do, yes. In Williamsville, it's called the alternative instruction model.
Yes, and I think maybe the focus should be on that, stronger, where a kid that isn't doing well in like academic and drops out and just gives up can be like assessed, if there's a counselor or whatever, to be funneled into one of these things. So by the time he's 18, he has like a core identity already. I'm proficient at this. I can do this. I know my friends. They're mechanics. They're plumbers. They're this. They're that. And then also, when I was in school, we had an educator from the United States government come in saying that the thrust of education in the future was going to be outsourcing, where you would get kids in the upper grades in alternative learning, where they would go out into the business world and intern into that. So,
no, that really hasn't happened at the high school level, because I'm sure one of the reasons for that is it would probably make a lot of teachers very unhappy, because fewer students would mean the need for fewer teachers. Would be my guess, but there are certainly trade schools that are out there. We've done a number of shows on trade schools, and I happen to be a big fan of trade schools. One of these days, I'll be able to take advantage of their invitation to take a tour. But there are so many opportunities that people have in metalworking and carpentry and welding, and there are so many specialties that people can get into. And the one-size-fits-all educational model, I think, is fundamentally flawed, because there are all kinds of intelligences. And just because somebody doesn't score well on a standard IQ test doesn't mean that their genius isn't somewhere else.
Exactly. And so, you know, I'm thinking especially with the young male, with the aggression that coming out of high school, or, you know, hopefully making it through and not giving up and being truant and whatever, or kicked out of school.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We'll see what some other people have to say. Just one word question. Why? Why is this happening? What is your take? Let's go to Ontario. And Tom, you're on WBEN.
How are you, Tom?
Sir.
Anyway, I was calling to add to your questions. There was a gentleman, and if you want to call him that, in Toronto, about 2018, rented a van, drove down Yonge Street to kill women. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that story.
Oh, yes, it's come up before.
You know, he was radicalized online. He felt that women were rejecting him. Therefore, he needed to get back at them by killing them. You know, and I'm just throwing that into the mix. You were mentioning, you know, it isn't always is a weapon. You can find other weapons. You can find other, you know, locations to kill people. And there's certainly in the Buffalo shooter at Tops and this guy in Toronto, there was this online radicalization by meeting a group of like-minded people in some manner, but who were also radicalizing them into doing this, you know, despicable, deadly acts that they committed.
Well, 11 people died in that, and you know, that's one of the points that's probably not real popular to talk about right now, but unfortunately, a sick mind or radicalized individual is going to use anything and everything they can to inflict the maximum number of injuries and deaths on their fellow human beings. But we talk about people being radicalized online. The idea of community, is that striking a chord with you, or is that not?
Well, I mean, I think it can be positive for many people, but in the case of these two individuals, they found a community, and that community made their whatever they were angry about worse, to the point where killing multiple people became their ultimate statement on life.
No. All right. Thank you very much. Folks, I'm looking for answers, and I've just a one-word question. The one word is why? Why is this happening? What are your thoughts? I have a few ideas, but I'd be lying if I told you I know that I have the answer. Because unfortunately, for every solution I've heard talked about, I can think of ways around it. Unfortunately, for every defense there is, there's an offense that can always overcome it. The French built the Maginot Line, thinking that that would make them invincible from attack from Germany. Didn't work out so well in 1940. Let's go to Rambo Jim. I'm sorry, it's Shepherd Jim now in Tonawanda. You're on WBEN. Shepherd Jim, go ahead.
North Tonawanda, yeah. Tom, you know, I was listening to you one time, and I think what I'm about to do is paraphrase you. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You were saying how there was something wrong in this country, and you just sensed it. It was evil. It was wrong. But you knew it was there. Tom, if you're smart enough to figure it out, don't you think, and I'm not trying to stick up for these guys going into supermarkets and schools, because if it was my decision, I would just kill them. That's what I would do if I was in charge. I would, if I was the senior ranking police supervisor, I would tell my officers, go in there, kill them, be done with them. That's it. They're not going to kill 20 kids in a school. We're not going to tolerate it.
Well, unfortunately, that's only as good as people's willingness or abilities to follow procedures and orders, as came out in the Texas news conference earlier today. Proper procedure was not followed.
Yeah, I know. They should have just gone in there with the firepower that was available and done what needed to be done. And then somebody in a position of authority would just say, all right, I made the decision. You don't like it. We'll go to court and figure it out in court. But you know what I'm saying? But there's no more leadership in this country. I mean, we've gone from George Patton to transgender generals. Well, yeah, we're losing the country, and people are losing faith, and they're losing hope. The other night I was coming home, and I was listening to Dana Loesch, and she said we're going to run out of – our wheat supply is going to be exhausted in 10 weeks. And I thought, God help us if she's right.
All right. Thank you very much. Jim's tradition is to always mention another talk show host whenever he calls into my show. It's part of his grand plan and conspiracy to drive me nuts. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, as far as transgender general, you know, my first thought, frankly, was the director of the FBI for many, many years, J. Edgar Hoover, and his male companion, Clyde Tolson. So I don't know that that is necessarily an issue. Mr. Hoover purportedly enjoyed wearing women's clothes and parading around his apartment. He had a very public side, and he had a very private side, and there's some speculation that one of the reasons Mr. Hoover denied the existence of the mob in the United States was because they had the goods on him, that they had certain incriminating photographs that made Mr. Hoover turn a blind eye to certain goings-on. Again, one person in private, another person in public. I realize that a man wearing women's clothes as a cross-dresser is a different issue than transgender, but we've always had people who were, shall we say, a little bit different. But the string of mass homicides, why? Why is this happening? And I do think there's something evil in the land. I do believe that there is evil. I know that some people say, well, that's a religious and mythological concept. It has nothing to do with evil. I don't know that I would agree with that statement. I do think that there is evil. I can't prove it. I can't measure it. But I do think that there is evil. And there's something inherently evil in a human being who can do what we've seen human beings do to other human beings in recent times. Let's go to Ed in Lockport. You're on WBEN. Ed, just one word. Why?
Well, in the Topps case, okay, could this shooter have had a personal negative confrontation with black people in some way or form, or happened to, like, a friend or a relative?
I'm sure that's one of the things that the people who are analyzing him are going to try to find out. But even so, the idea that you would take a confrontation with somebody of a different race and generalize it into an entire race, I don't know how plausible that is, because think about your own life. I'm going to bet you that are you a white man?
Yeah.
I'm going to presume you've had more bad interactions with white folks than you have with anybody else.
Wow.
And you can't generalize that against everybody who looks like you do. I mean, just some people are jerks, unfortunately.
Yeah, but then.
But I mean, you're what you're saying is that you wonder if this might have been a cause, and that is the question I'm asking: is why?
It's a cause. It could have been a black guy stole his girlfriend,
a black guy left a family member for dead or something in a robbery or something, you know, that kind of thing. It's that you know, could really tilt somebody.
Well, I mean, I certainly hope I certainly hope that isn't the case. I mean, as far as I know, nobody in Charleston who had family killed by I don't even want to say his name, by the individual at the church, as far as I know, nobody related to them who's been personally affected by the loss of a loved one at another white racist hands has gone out and committed acts against white people in revenge.
Well, my brother was left for dead in a taxi cab robbery.
But you didn't go out and try to be Charles Bronson and then irrationally just decide, I'm not going to have anything to do with people who don't look as I do.
Wow.
I mean, maybe you did. I'm missing something.
That's the kind of, my brother was, like I said, robbed, okay, in a cab robbery. And it was by black people. And he had a real hatred for black people for quite a while.
Well, I'm sorry. Obviously, I'm sorry that happened. But unfortunately, people of all races can do things to people of other races that could conceivably make the victim, shall we say, prejudiced or at worst filled with hate. But there are people who have endured so much at the hands of people who don't look like them, who don't have that response. Let me give you an example. During the Los Angeles riots back in the 1990s, there's a truck driver named Reginald Denny. And Mr. Denny was pulled out of his truck, and he was just mercilessly beaten by a bunch. This time I can't say black brothers. This time I have to say by a bunch of criminals who were not white. And they beat this man. They dropped concrete on his head to within an inch of his life. After recovering from what he experienced, Mr. Denny did not express hatred. He did not express bitterness, and it would be so easy for him to have done so, but he did not do it. You know, one of the great abilities that we have, I think anyway, as human beings, is the ability, well, two great abilities, not to generalize, number one, and not to to forgive. And forgiveness, and look, I would have a hard time forgiving the individual in Buffalo, we're not going to name, and the individual in Texas who did not come out alive. I don't know where people find forgiveness for stuff like that, but for most of us, in most of our everyday interactions, forgiveness is, I think it's a virtue that is often overlooked because anger, militancy, hatred can hang around your neck like a weight just dragging you down. And sometimes you just have to learn the power of forgiveness. I mean, I'm not particularly religious, but when Jesus was on the cross, one of the things he's reported as saying is, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So even in a moment where he had just been whipped mercilessly, forced to carry a cross through the streets, and then nailed brutally to a cross, Christ still said, forgive them, they know not what they do. Now, whether that's a true story, whether it's a parable, I think the lesson is a good one, that there's something about forgiveness that I think is good for people. And again, that being said, you're probably a better person than I am, because I could not forgive the top situation, nor could I have forgiven the Charleston shooter in South Carolina. But this came up the other day, but one of the most beautiful things on the other side of the coin that many of us have ever seen, after the Charleston shooting, the family members, in a video arraignment, a video feed of his court appearance, one after one, the relatives of the shooter in Charleston stood up and said, my faith precludes me from hating you. I hate what you did. I loved my whoever got killed, but I cannot bring myself to hate you. I forgive you. I will pray for you in a spiritual sense. And anybody who saw that or who remembers that will recall that as it was a very beautiful moment. I was particularly struck by it. I couldn't believe it. But I think those folks in Charleston taught the rest of us something about forgiveness. Let's go to Mike in West Seneca on WBEN. You are on. Hello.
Good to hear you're back. Hope you're feeling good.
No, thank you.
I was just thinking, listening to this over the past couple of weeks, this guy definitely had problems, he said that, and he's brooding, and maybe because he watched for 2 years Black Lives Matter destroy, pillage, I mean, just terror through the country. I think there was people killed, too, and nobody was punished for anything, and he may have just decided, well, I'll take it upon them, and it'll be my job to punish them. It's just a thought, that's all.
Well, only a very sick mind, I think, would have that feeling. I've said this before, and again, I appreciate you guys' theories, but I've said this before, I may not have the answer, and you might not have the answer, but the individual at Tops also shot Caucasians. So I understand that his primary motivation was hatred of other people who didn't look as he looks. I get that. But he also shot people who looked as he looks. And frankly, one of the most disturbing parts, well, I don't even know how you quantify this, but one of the parts of the video that they all disturbed me, some that were more graphic, really, I've just not been able to get out of my mind, but where he looks at the white man on the ground and says, sorry, and then walks out the door. Again, I don't think that's a stable person. I think that's an evil person, but not insane to be criminally insane. We talked about that the last time I was on. He knew what he was doing was wrong when he was doing it, and if they try an insanity defense, it won't work any more than they've worked in 99% of the cases where it's been tried. It fails. It is 2:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. The question is, why? Why? And you know, getting back to it too, most of the bad interactions with people you have in your life, I'm guessing that most of those bad interactions are people who are not of a different race than you are, because most of us and most crimes are committed by people who know each other. The most violent of crimes are usually caused by those on the most intimate of terms. Usually that is the case. But if you look back in your life, by whom have you been burned more? And I guess the general answer would be, you know, by the people to whom you are closest. It is coming up on 2:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. If you need a new mattress.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.